Have you ever known an addict? Somebody who is truly addicted. Maybe you've met them, or maybe they're a part of your family or friends. You know, I mean, like a true addict. Someone that day after day returns to this destructive behavior, if you will. It kind of ruins their lives little by little. Slowly, ever so slightly. Interestingly enough, according to Psychology Today, an addiction is a condition in which a person engages in use of a substance, which is often what we associate it with, or in a behavior for which the rewarding effects provide a compelling incentive to repeatedly pursue the behavior despite detrimental consequences. You know, whenever you hear that entire definition out loud, your idea and concept of an addict begins to broaden a bit. We first think of an addict and we think of an alcoholic. We think of somebody who might be sitting on the side of the road with a bottle, with a paper bag wrapped around it. Or somebody who just looks down and out and they've got some needle tracks on their arm. But when we broaden our horizons and when we think of what a true addict is in regards to the behaviors that are destructive, that slowly over time begin to wear on our lives, we begin to envision something altogether different. Something that might include more of us than you think. As a matter of fact, what if I told you if in America there are addicts filling the pews of churches all over our country today? What if I told you that the body of Christ has always been a church full of recovering addicts? Even as the Apostle Paul struggled, he understood this idea of addiction, this addiction that we call sin. If you're following along with me, go ahead and turn your Bibles over to Romans. We're going to be in Romans chapter 7. We're reading out of Romans chapter 7, and we're going to start here in verse 14. It reads, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For that which I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but the sin which indwells me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. For the good that I wish, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God and the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death?" Isn't this the story of our life? This war that is waged within us. I believe we all have this struggle between the flesh and the spirit. the truth that we have received and that which we want to do. Paul so eloquently describes this. Have you ever experienced this struggle that he talks about? This war that is raged within our own bodies and minds? By a raise of hands, how many, she already knows. How many of you have been perfect over the past year? That's a little much. Okay. So how about how many of you have been perfect over the past 6 months? Steel Terry? How about how many of you have been perfect over the past month? No hands. I would imagine we might not get any hands if I said how many of you have been perfect over the past week? Oh, week. Okay. He was at church camp. Yes. Absolutely. You know, as I think about it, though, all of the parents and leaders in churches across America and even within this church, shouldn't we be raising our hand? Right? Or at least that's what we often lead our children and others to think. If we were letting them in on the secret, we would let them know that as parents, as leaders, as Christians, we're not perfect. Sometimes we don't listen. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes even though we want to do what God wants us to do, instead we end up doing something altogether different. We present this facade so often, portraying perfection, yet we have this alter ego. This alter ego that is within us sometimes seems to overtake us. Terry saw an example of my alter ego this past week. On the drive over to camp, I was in charge of the van, and I drove that van. And I had my kids in there, I had Terry in there, and Anthony was in this van with us. And of course, this is the first time I've been in charge of a church van. And so, turn my blinker on when I turn right. I turn my blinker on when I turn left. I come to a complete stop. I go the speed limit. And I slow down. I'm driving very well. There might not be a no U-turn sign, but I'm not going to do that U-turn because it might be a little dangerous. Terry called me a rule follower on the way over. She said, "Would you just live a little?"
As we're being left behind.
But it was a speed limit. And so she saw my alter ego whenever we got an opportunity to drive in an ATV. We're going out to the bottomless lake. We're driving along, and it all started with this big puddle. I see this big puddle, and I'm in a four-wheel drive ATV, and I'm like, all right, maybe Terry's right. Maybe I should live a little. Let this alter ego out. And Anthony kind of skirts the edge, and I just go right into it. And that water floods over us, and it splashes all over everyone, and everyone's face is just in awe. Did Arthur just do that? And Terry said, "Who is this?" And I just gun it, and we're going up and around these roads and curves. And she said, "I want to save Arthur back." The rule follower. She began to sing a bit of a different tune on the rest of that ride in the ATV. But sometimes this is us. Isn't that the way life goes sometimes? We have these alter egos. We have these differences in our life that we convince ourselves that they are not in control. that the good things that we want to do for God, that is in control. But as Paul says, sometimes our body, the very members of my body, they take control. In our spiritual lives, we battle within ourselves this personality. We say that we believe in God and that He is the most important things in our life. Yet somehow, when it comes down to it, we just end up not following through. In fact, we don't do what our heart is telling us to do. It's almost time for summer to be over. Cassie says, don't say that. You don't say that. Well, it is. And for parents, grandparents, for children, things change a little bit during the school year. Get a little fast-paced. We have things and responsibilities to do, and we are in and around the people of the world a lot more frequently. Whether it's work or it's school or it's watching your kids or grandkids play soccer or basketball or cheerleading. Whatever it is, we are around everyone else. And instead of putting this facade on, maybe we can be true to ourselves and true to Christ and show where our true heart is. Both young and old will be faced with decisions once the summer is over. In fact, we are faced with them now. We're faced with this decision to give in to our alter ego, that other side of us, or to serve God with our thoughts and deeds. As the other side of the coin says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, "But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." So even though Paul describes this battle within us, ultimately Scripture tells us which one should win. Ultimately, we know that God's will should be done. Because if we only choose to take up our cross sometimes, it's as though we don't take it up at all. Revelation chapter 3 tells us that lukewarm is like being cold anyways. Yes, we're going to fail. Yes, we will make wrong decisions sometimes, but Romans chapter 7 is not suggesting that we are capable of doing good all the time. In fact, the struggle that he speaks of is leading to the ultimate answer. As we read earlier in verse 24, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death?" Well, the answer follows. It's not perfection in his personal decisions, but perfection in Christ. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord," he says in verse 25. "So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin." It is with our mind that we dedicate our lives to Christ, knowing that our flesh is going to falter. But what matters, what God wants, is a passionate life. A passionate life that he knows that we're capable of. He doesn't want you to flounder around like a lukewarm Christian that only acts like one when he or she feels like it, or only pretends he or she is one because he wants to look perfect in front of his family or friends. That being said, we ought to be able to look in the mirror, and the same person everyone else sees should be the person that you see in the mirror. When we look in the mirror, we don't want to be two-faced, We don't want that alter ego to be in the forefront. Instead, we want to look like Christ. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Because as big as this struggle is that Paul talks about, Scripture balances this out, as it always does, and says, yes, you are going to have that struggle. Yes, sometimes you are going to fall. And the answer to that is Jesus Christ and dedicating your mind and your life passionately to God. And through that passion, James chapter 1, verse 19 says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to anger. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Paul struggles with this law. We struggle with God's word, with the teachings that Christ has provided us. But ultimately, we are free to do them. Because if we know that we can't fail in Christ, then how much easier is it going to be for us to accomplish things in Christ? Have you ever been under so much pressure that it doesn't matter how much you try, you just can't get it right? Jesus says, come unto me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wasn't telling the Jews that you don't have to do God's will. He wasn't telling us Christians that we don't need to know God's word. And he especially wasn't saying that we don't need to abide by it. But what he was saying is that I know you're going to fail. But know that my grace covers that. My grace covers all whenever you passionately follow me. When your mind is dedicated to my law, to my word. So don't let that alter ego take control and scare the BGs out of your friends. Be a strong servant of God. Every minute of your life, knowing that you were reinforced by the ultimate aid, by the blood of Christ, and the Spirit within you that leads you everywhere you ought to go. And as we begin this new school year, as we take on these new challenges in life as adults, as parents and grandparents, we can live it confidently in Christ. If you have been waging this war within you and you feel like you have been defeated and you need the help of God, maybe you just need to lay some things down before him. We're here to do that this morning. If you need that, come forward as we stand and sing.